Hello everyone, this is Will.
And this is Alex.
And welcome back to another episode of They Mostly Come Out at Night.
Yeah, mostly.
Wow! Mostly. How do you feel right now, Alex?
Oh, I love it.
I love life. Do you live for this shit?
I live for this shit.
I do too.
I love it.
I still wish it was a little better, but
no.
Oh, no,
I wish it was worse.
You like this amateur bullshit?
I love this shit. There's nothing better than, complete amateur hour bad movies. Because it's one thing if it's, like, someone spent millions of dollars and it's quote-unquote polished and it's bad. But when it's, like, just some yokels got together and were like, hey, let's make a movie. That shit is glorious.
I feel kind of bad in a way, though, because, like, I'm sure the director was like, this movie is great. Like, we've done the best we can do.
That's even better. Because there's none of that, like, phony Hollywood cynicism, you know?
Right.
Where there's like, oh, I have to make this movie because the studio wants me to make it, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
In this, it's like, you're doing this because you wanted to do it.
Yeah, this director clearly wanted to make this film.
Everyone involved with this was like, yeah, man, I'm in a movie. Same with Blood Freak and Body Shop. This is the shit I live for.
Man, you've been having a heyday. We've been having just terrible movies. Great. Like, on and on.
I love this shit. The amateur... I love this amateur nonsense. But the movie we watched tonight was Invasion of the Blood Farmers.
And, oh, what a movie it was.
And there was blood.
There was farmers.
I can't call it an invasion, but they kind
of... wasn't an invasion.
They kind of bullshit you on that?
There was an attempted invasion. Not even really, no.
They just kind of chill.
They just kind of... me.
They just chill on a farm. An abandoned farmhouse.
Bring back our queen, and then... that's it.
We've all been there. And just kind of, like, playing around with a fucking air blower thing. Air compressor?
Yeah.
That's supposed to be the... That's supposed to be the blood farming machine.
Yeah.
Which is, again, amateur hour.
It's a compressor.
I love it.
With a tube.
It's great. It's fantastic.
How did this film cost $25,000 to make?
I have no fucking
clue. Like, that's a low budget. But, like, this seems like it was made on, like, nothing.
The camera and a microphone and that's it. And I guess what they paid the, quote-unquote actors.
Like, the main actor, maybe? Because didn't you say that some of the actors were paid in, like, 6 packs of beer?
Yeah. I read online and said that a lot of the cast were paid in 6 packs of beer.
I bet you that sheriff. I bet you anything that sheriff works for a 6-pack of beer.
God, I hope so.
Or the guy waiting for the phone.
Or everyone in the bar.
Yeah.
That was their thing. They just like, yeah, you'll get the beer in the bar. It's yours. You just gotta come in here and do this bullshit scene.
Alright, so should we start breaking it down?
Yeah.
There's not even that much to break down, though. Like, it's just like, me. So, it starts out with this weird, like, red tinted thing and some guy spouting a bunch of bullshit about, like, the when Jesus was alive, there was this cult of
something.
Like, people who harvested blood
and then they were
sacrificing to the Mennonites or something like that.
Menonon,
that's right. Not
that's
the Mennonites.
What they call the cup.
Menonon.
The cup of Menonon.
The cup of Menonon. And they're like...
and they were driven to, like, the underground or something?
Yeah, something drove them to the underground, but they still harvested blood.
Yes.
And we're still, like, trying to carry on the
tradition?
The tradition, the Menonon, whatever bullshit. I don't know. It's not really important.
It doesn't matter. It just drops it on you. and we were just confused.
I was like, what is going on? I thought it was a different movie at first. I thought it was like the YouTube cut in something else.
No, this is the movie.
No, it was the movie.
And we were confused, and then the movie ended, and we were still confused.
And then we get, ladies and gentlemen, Jim Carrey! No. It's a guy named Jim Carrey.
But they keep, for some bizarre reason, every time they refer to him, they mention his full fucking name.
Yeah, they always say Jim Carrey.
They don't just say Jim.
They say Jim Carrey.
They say Jim Carrey over and over and over and over. And he's like, stumbling down a road covered in blood.
Yeah, and he's like, bleh, 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 bleh.
Yeah.
And like then, he's in like excruciating pain but still walking.
He's still walking. And then it
goes cars drive past him, yeah. And then it goes to
a bar.
What was it called? Hobbies 2? Cubbies 2?
Something 2.
Some local bar they were able to film at.
Yeah, and it's
because it probably didn't 2. Get any business. Yeah, 2.
So not there's 1, a sequel. 2. So whatever bar there was, they made a sequel, and this is the sequel, 2. And there's these, like, these dudes in the bar, and they're just, like, bullshitting around.
Well, they're talking about how...
One of them is, his wife has disappeared.
Yeah, she's disappeared, and he's still, like, looking for her. And...
But then, at the same time, he's like, you know what, I don't care. Like,
well, it keeps cutting to the bartenders, like, just, like, dumbfounded reactions.
Over and over.
Like, they must have thought this bartender was a really good actor, because they kept cutting to his facial reactions, and they were terrible. They were, like, exactly opposite of what you would actually react to.
Someone took Film 101 and was like, you know what, if nothing's happening in a scene, you just cut to someone's face, someone whose face is interesting, because they're a good actor, but he decided the most interesting actor there was the guy playing the bartender.
Well, they do this a lot where they'll, like, be explaining something and it'll show, like, someone's it'll face. Just cut to someone's face.
And they're just not doing
or
anything.
Or someone doing the thing they're explaining, but, like, yeah. For no reason whatsoever. Like, yeah. It doesn't pertain to anything.
No.
So then Jim Carrey walks into the... I have to call him Jim Carrey.
Yes.
Jim Carrey walks into the bar and starts wagging his tongue all over the place. Yeah.
He falls down.
And they're all
he's
like
dead.
They're all kind of wondering what the hell's going on. Of course, I mean, the guy just came and was wagging his tongue around like a lunatic and yelling, covered in blood.
No, it happens all the time.
But no one asked if like, hey, are you okay? They're just like, they just watched him like die.
We get to the couple.
Then we cut to a couple on a lake.
Yes, and it's very romantic.
And he's, like, talking about how he's studying for this this internship or something. That's why he's working with her father.
I legitimately have no fucking
her
clue.
Her father's, like, a scientist, and yes. He's doing, like, a research paper on blood.
And the son, and he's working with him, and the... Yeah, like...
Well, and the guy, one of the stupidest parts is he's like, yeah, I'm starting from the bottom, and he grabs her ankle, and he's like, I'm gonna just work my way up, and,
yeah.
Like, you know,
goes
like,
up her leg.
Fondles her leg up,
yeah.
And she slaps it.
Yeah, and it's all very, hee-hee-hee.
No, not to mention that these are possibly some of the worst, I don't know if it's the worst acting I've ever seen, but they're pretty fucking bad.
I don't know, but I do know that this guy was,
Oh, he thought he was the shit.
This dude was getting on your nerves.
Yeah, because, like, he's, like, weird.
He's very chipper. Very, like, unusually chipper and cheery. Very, like, aw, shucks! Like, kind of like that.
Even in scenes he didn't, like, need to
be. And it was everything just... I don't know, this whole scene just, like, it's supposed to be, like, sweet and romantic, but it just comes off as cringy.
Yeah. A little too cringy.
Yes.
So, doesn't it cut back to the lab now?
No, they start talking about the lab, and it, like, inserts shots of the lab.
Oh, that's right,
Because I don't know what a fucking lab looks like, so we have to see it.
And he was talking about how he found... Wasn't he talking about how he found the blood sample, or does he just bring that up, like, randomly?
I think they start talking about how there's been things going on.
Yeah,
like people disappearing.
Because that guy's wife has disappeared, and then Jim Carrey died in the bar.
Yeah, and then apparently someone else, but... And then he mentions that they got a sample of his blood, which they never showed. He was never there, but apparently he has a sample of his blood.
He's not like an investigator or anything either. He's a student.
No.
How did he get a sample of blood from a bar?
I legitimately have no fucking clue. And so then they go back to the house.
And it shows them, like, just laying on the grass.
Yeah, again.
And he's, like, going to feed a bunny.
And then the dad runs out of the house and says, like...
Like...
Jim!
Jim! Come here! You simply have to come see this!
Yes.
Oh! And, she blinded me with science! Like, just...
We lost our shit.
Way too enthusiastic. Just like, you have to come see this!
Yeah. And, but, like...
You simply have to see this! He's so, like so flamboyant.
And he does. Oh. And he talks with that, like, weird accent, too. For no reason. No goddamn reason whatsoever.
No.
But I know why they moved from the lake to the house to sit on the grass. It's because they needed that scene to happen. They needed him to bust out of the fucking door and yell, "You have to come see this!" And they couldn't do it if they're at the lake.
I love it.
Again, amateurs.
That doctor was, like, my favorite because he was always... Oh, he does look at this blood!
Three times in the movie, he does the same thing. And it's like, I don't know.
Something amazing is happening!
You won't believe
you
this!
You won't believe your eyes! Like, it's just...
And it just, I don't know.
So he comes down, and so the student gave him a blood sample, and yes, it's like a small blood sample, and the blood is growing.
The blood is reproducing.
Yeah, it's reproducing, so that he gave him a blood sample, and it's like three times its... Oh, no, sorry. No, he shows him a beaker, and, like, the guy's like, oh, it's grown, like, quite a bit. And then he's like, look under that rug. Like, well, he doesn't talk like that the whole time, yeah, but it'd be hilarious. He tells him to look under, like, a cloth, and then it's like a pitcher, and it has a bunch of, like, quote-unquote blood in it.
Yeah.
And he's like, that's the sample you gave me. And the guy's like, whoa, it's grown, like, so much. And
yeah.
Whoa, it's grown so much in a short amount of time.
And at some point during this, they show a scene of them draining the blood farmers.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Draining the blood.
They drain, and so they have this, the woman, the wife, and they're showing her, like, you know, like, on a chain. They just show this randomly, like.
Yeah.
Like, there's no context. It was the guy's wife.
Remember, oh, Jim Carrey?
Because he's getting drunk on, like, a... And he looks at the picture, and then it cuts to her.
Oh, yeah, that fucks. Yeah,
so not Jim Carrey, the guy who lost his wife.
Yeah, he's like, sitting there naked and drinking.
And he's drinking vodka straight out the bottle.
And he's sitting on, like, his fucking, like, desk outside, and he just has one thing on the desk. And it's a old, like, portrait of his wife, and yeah.
And then it cuts to her, like, being drained. And it's literally, like, I shit you not, it's like a... Like a 1 minute scene, and for movies, that's a long scene for one thing to happen.
Oh, we have to see
there
all of it.
All the blood drained out of her body. Well, it's like just... weird bubbling sound goes off in the
and
background,
and she's like kind of, you know, just and they drain her of blood, and she dies.
Surprise, surprise.
What do they do with the bodies, Will? Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
They don't do anything with the bodies, and we figure that out later.
They don't do anything with anything.
She just dies, and they just kind of, like, plop her on the floor.
Yeah. Then they go, and I don't remember who explains this. I think it's in the bar. They start talking about how Jim Carrey died.
Oh, that's right, and the guy's...
They're in the lab. That's where they explain it.
Oh, that's right.
So, his explanation is that his blood kept reproducing inside of his body, and he, direct quote, blew himself up.
He produced so much blood that he exploded.
Nowhere in the movie did anybody explode.
He didn't explode, he just dropped on the ground.
Yeah, with his tongue wagging around.
Yeah.
But apparently, the blood blew him up.
Yeah. He produced so much blood that it couldn't fit into his body.
And he exploded.
That's the actual explanation
they give. That's what you get. And they never mention this ever again.
Oh no, they don't need to.
And at some point, I forgot this even happened. Because I remember in the beginning, like thinking, like, what the fuck? But then, none of that happens again.
And then, after they, right after they talk about that, shows the janitor of the bar.
He's trying to scrub the blood.
Trying to scrub the blood up, and he's like, I swear, no matter how much I scrub, this blood stain gets bigger and bigger.
And bigger. And then, like, they say, like, you need to stop drinking. And
then he go,
okay, this came out of fucking nowhere. He's like, there's been weird things happening around here. You know, this guy has disappeared and that guy disappeared. And yesterday I saw some bright lights in the sky. I think there's some demonic things going
on. And then I swear I saw devils floating above the sky. And, like, they had red eyes and flashing lights. If only I had a camera, I would have taken a photo.
Maybe a couple photos. Okay. He says this without any emotion. And he's we were listening to this.
Deadpan the entire time.
We lost our shit. Because it comes out of fucking nowhere, and it's just 0 to 100, like, oh yeah, I can't clean this blood up. Oh, by the way, I saw a devil and things in the sky. Like, what?
But even we gave that too much emotion. Like, this, I can't even begin to, like, recreate how he
sounded. None of what he mentions is ever mentioned again.
I don't think they even show him again.
No, except for the, at the end of the movie, you kind of get a red tint for, like, 10 seconds.
Yeah, but there's no demons floating in the sky. No. There's no bright lights. No. Except for the day for night.
I guess one of them mentioned, and we thought that it's, like, aliens and UFOs.
I thought it was, but it's not. I guess it's not.
During the scene, there's these two weirdos at the bar, and they're kind of, like, looking at each other.
Yeah, they're dressed in overalls and, like, plaid shirts and, like, straw hats. They look like your stereotypical farmers.
Go on YouTube. Look up Cotton Eye Joe. They look like the people from the Cotton Eye Joe music video.
Yeah.
I am not fucking joking.
They really do.
It's a goddamn meme. And it's great.
One's named Eon, and we don't get the other one's name, but...
Yeah, we might have, but I honestly don't fucking remember.
I remember Egon.
Yeah, but... Egon. And he asks them for directions to, like, this farmhouse?
So he's looking for the scientist.
Which, like, was he just, like...
I don't know how he figured out that the scientist got the blood sample, though. They never explain it. Like,
unless they mentioned, I don't know, it might have just, like, been mentioned in, like, a fucking throwaway line.
I was kind of just not even paying attention.
They might have mentioned, like, oh yeah, this guy got a blood sample. They might have mentioned that. Again?
I don't know.
I don't know either, but it's possible.
I don't think they did.
It's possible.
Yeah, but in this film, do you think the director was going for continuity?
No.
No, he didn't care.
Oh, well, I think he cared. He just doesn't know.
This farmer is just looking for the scientist's
house. Well, he asks him for directions, and he gives him directions, and he's like, thank you. Your directions will be very suitable for me. And then he leaves, and then he's like, you, like, go talk to, whatever the fuck the guy's name was.
The main guy? I can't remember his name. I know the professor, I wrote his name down. Sangreed?
Sangreed. Yeah, the other guy was like, it started with a C. Yeah. And immediately...
It was like Kartor or something like that.
My first thought, and yours, was aliens.
Yeah, because they all have weird names.
Weird names, and they talk like... They don't talk like normal people.
No.
I was like, aliens. But... No. Unfortunately, the movie's even more boring than that. Yep. There's no aliens.
And you'll notice with our narration, the movie gets even more boring, because I lost interest right around here.
And so, Egon...
Egon goes to the scientist's house.
And
Does a little spying.
Little spying.
And then trips and, like, hits his, like, staff, his weird, like, raw, like, it looks like a... Like
a walking stick.
A walking stick, or it looks like something you'd hang curtains on.
But apparently...
Like a small rod.
But it has magic powers, apparently. Because remember, it makes people bleed.
Well, and it can beat people to death.
Well, he doesn't have to beat them. He can just touch it on them.
But he, like, trips and like, taps on the glass, and they're like, what's going on?
Yeah. And then they have a dog, and their dog
chases him. So the girl's sleeping, and the dog gets out and chases him.
And there's a... it's sped-up footage of him limping away, like, limp running through the woods.
But at certain points, it looks like he's doing, like, a jig. Like, yes. Like, he's, like... He's lifting his leg, like, way too far up high. Like,
yes.
Way high.
Yes.
Like,
if this was a comedy, this would be acceptable.
Yeah.
But not in a horror movie.
No.
And well, eventually...
If you can call this a horror movie.
And then the dog catches up to him, and...
He beats
the dog to death.
Holy living shit out of the dog.
But it's so realistic that...
It looks like he's holding up, like, a piece of fur or something.
It looks like he's awkwardly, like, pretend slapping a piece of fur.
Mm-hmm.
There's no dog in this scene.
None.
And he kills the dog, and...
So the girl gets up and is all concerned.
Yeah.
And doesn't know where the dog went. Goes and, like, tells the scientist and her boyfriend that, like, the dog is missing. And then Egon finally kills the dog and starts eating it.
No, this is where we got the best edit in the movie.
Oh, that's right, yeah. So
the, whatever the fuck his name is.
The dude.
The dude and the girl. I don't remember their fucking names. So
they go outside looking for the dog and they're calling for it.
He kind of calms her down and then they kiss. And it shows him like, okay... It's like you put a camera in front of someone's face and then tell them to kiss the camera.
Yeah.
And then he, like, goes in for the kiss.
He slowly
and then,
goes in to kiss the camera.
And then she goes in for the kiss.
Yeah,
she then...
And then Egon, like, comes up from the camera with blood all over his face.
And then you see that he's, like...
Eating the dog,
he's
I guess?
He's drinking the dog's blood.
Yeah. He's not eating the dog because, yeah, but...
Because he has an addiction to blood.
And then you see a river, and there's blood on a rock
mm-hmm.
from who knows where,
because
the blood wouldn't have splattered there, but, you know, whatever. And then...
Whatever.
And then there's, like, a key in the river.
Yes. But apparently this key is more than just a key.
It literally never explains where the key goes.
No, and I still don't know where it goes.
Because we don't know, because it doesn't say where this key was used.
It doesn't tell us why it's important. Well, the most important part is the druids, which is what they call themselves, they never say it's a key. But why do we say it's a key, Will? You know
because
why?
Because it looks like a key.
Because it is a key. But, like, everyone in the movie looks at it like it's, like, this weird artifact.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I don't know what this is. I wonder what it's made out of. I'm like, it's a fucking key.
Yeah, it's a key.
It's a fucking door key. Oh, my God. Like, you couldn't just make some weird-looking object with, like, paper mache
mm-hmm.
and pretend it's, like, a weird druid object.
They couldn't have dunked it in water if they did.
True, but would you even have to?
No.
Exactly. Okay. But again, this is why I love this shit. Because it's so fucking amateur. We can't make something. We have to get a key and just pretend that a key is a...
It looks like an old, like, antique skeleton key.
Yes. That's the best they could do.
So they're looking for the dog and they find the key. And then we get the sheriff comes to, like...
No, no, no.
Oh, the sheriff doesn't come yet.
No, you're not missing, yet. Like, 50 scenes. Well,
Sorry, I just...
At some point during
I
this...
I just didn't care.
I mean, I don't blame you. At some point, they find Egon, like, hangs the dead dog.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Outside
so he,
the door?
He taunts the girl, and they get the dog, and...
The doctor discovers that it's been drained of all of its blood.
Yeah, but they can't tell her. And, like, I love this scene, because, she's like, what do they say, like, he...
How did she take it?
Yeah, they find the dog, they're looking at the dog, and they're like, oh, she found the dog. How did she take it? I'm like, how would you take finding your dog bloody and hanging from, well, like, your house rafters?
Excuse me, he saw how she took it because he was there.
She was, like, screaming and horrified.
That's how she took it.
But he asks anyway.
How'd
she take it?
Oh, she took it great.
Yeah, fine.
Yeah, great. And then we out of nowhere cut to a fucking motel room.
Oh god, yeah, I forgot and, this. How did I forget this scene?
I don't know how you did. This is the greatest brilliant scene in the movie. There is a woman in here who wants to take it.
Oh,
but she cannot take it.
Well, because they're newlyweds, and she.
Well, at first you thought it was the same couple, and I don't blame you.
And her husband's a fucking ponce.
Her husband is named after the producer. It might be the producer. I don't know.
It probably is the producer.
I remember the name. Milton Greenman? Or Greenman. Greenfield?
Greenman.
Yeah, that's the producer's name.
Milton Greenman. The guy has the exact same name.
Yeah, very original. Also, during the movie, they keep referring to how they can't call the chief of police, because he is in Capital City.
Yeah.
Capital City.
Capital City.
That's like, again, children. It's a movie that children made.
So we get a glorious scene of him carrying her through the threshold, even though they're already through the door.
Yes.
And then they plop on the bed, and then he's like, "See, I told you they had a TV here. Yeah. I'm gonna get ready for bed." And like she's like, "Yeah, me too." And she goes into the bathroom.
He says, "I'm gonna watch The Late Show."
Oh yeah, don't you want to watch The Late Show? And she's like, "We're married now. You don't have to watch The Late Show."
Whatever the fuck that means.
I don't know. Apparently when you're married, you don't have to watch The Late Show.
Yeah, this is good knowledge, Will.
If you're single, you have to watch The Late Show.
If you're single and you're dating, you're obligated to watch The Late Show. But once you get...
It's a requirement, dude.
Once you get married, though, you don't gotta do that.
You're not a human being if you don't watch The Late Yes. Show, okay? Now, when you're married, you have the option to stop watching The Late Show.
This movie...
But only
yeah.
when you're married.
This movie gives out secrets about marriage that I had no idea existed.
Yeah.
And she goes to take a shower. And he, like... Okay, I still don't know what the fuck the deal was with this nonsense.
Oh.
He, like... First of all, he slowly picks up his suitcase. And then, like... Quickly puts it down on the bed and starts, like, rustling through it.
Yeah.
Like, he's looking for something. Like, something suspicious, okay? And then I'm like, what the fuck is happening? But then he stops looking through the suitcase and starts taking his clothes off.
And then finds pajamas. In his suitcase.
And then she comes out wearing, like, a...
Like, lingerie.
Like, yeah, lingerie. This movie's version of lingerie. And...
Which is... It's like a tank top and panties.
Yes.
Like...
Yes.
It's not
yeah.
lingerie.
No, but it's supposed to be, yeah. She wants... Yeah. And he's like, well, I'm gonna go take a shower. And then he goes to the shower. And then she, like... Again... She, like, takes the suitcase, looks at it, looks through it, and then, like, puts everything back in and quickly, like, puts it away and gets in bed. And I'm just like, is there a point?
And then she's just laying on the bed waiting for this doofus to get out of the shower while he's, like, gargling water.
He's gargling
and, like,
water.
Spitting it out.
And washing his...
Like,
he's not even using shampoo. He's just, like, sitting there, like, enjoying himself. And then...
We get a cut of just, like, Egon, just randomly, it's just his face, and the girl's all of a sudden, I guess, dead.
Well, she's just laying there.
Yeah.
But they never show it. But he's just in the bathroom now.
Yeah, and then he, like, sneaks up on the guy, opens the door, and, like, just starts beating him with his staff.
This thing.
The little walking, little puny walking stick
yes.
he has.
It has, like, a skull on the end of it.
It's like a, like, red diamond. It might be a skull, but... it might
it's
be
It's
very, skull.
Very metal.
But he just, like, starts, like... punching at the screen, but he's swinging down with the
he's
staff.
He's beating him to death with it.
Yeah.
It's so strong.
And then as he's beating him to death, it cuts to the girl, and she's just, like, shaking on the bed.
I wasn't sure
no
what
reason.
The deal with that was. I wasn't sure if, like,
I don't
for
know.
A moment, I thought it was one of those, like, vibrator beds.
Maybe, but then she stops shaking.
They never explain anything.
Maybe the actress was really cold. I don't know. I don't know. She's shivering for no reason. She's obviously dead.
She's shivering out of the fear of what being in this movie will do to her reputation.
You mean that she's never going to be in a movie ever again?
Would you show your face after this?
No.
Exactly. Exactly.
I would leave the country.
Yeah, change your name.
Yeah.
Change your, like, hair color, everything.
In fact, any of these movies, if I was seen in them, I would just get out of town.
I have a proposition. Can you imagine directing one of these?
Oh, I get why some of them change their name.
Can you imagine spending your, like...
hard-earned money.
This cost $24,000 in 1972 money. Can you imagine spending that much money? And this is the end.
We've seen crappier...
Tell your parents, like, hey, I made the movie. And they're like, oh, we're so proud of you, son. Show us the movie. Can you imagine?
You'd be the shame of, like, every... Like, if try... Imagine, like, going to a theater and just sitting with your audience just watching this film. Like, just sitting down with, like... Like, we've watched crappier movies with bigger budgets.
Yes.
So, like just... I just want to imagine these directors, like, going in and watching it with their audience. Just
thinking, and, like, oh,
and their audience are a bunch of jackasses like we are. So, like, you know, they're just making fun of the movie the whole time. So, like... Like, I wonder if the directors are just like, this is my moment. This is the greatest moment of my life. They're going to absolutely love it. I put so much hard work and dedication into this. They go into the theater and people just trash it. People are walking out. People are like riffing it. Like, it's just, I can't even imagine. I want to be a fly on the wall when that happens.
Pretty sure if I paid money for this, I would walk out in 5 minutes.
I'd demand my money back.
I would walk out in the opening scene. I'd be like, okay, this is no.
Yeah, no.
It's not happening. Sorry.
I mean, you should know this is a bad movie from the opening scene.
Yes. From every scene. It just gets worse.
Alright, so we gotta explain the rest of it now.
Okay, well... So yeah, they kill this fuckface, and then they... We don't see what happens to the wife, but they tell us later.
Yeah. So then, This is where the sheriff is, like... The deputy's bragging in the bar, isn't it?
No. No.
Did I skip a scene?
You skipped many scenes.
Damn it! Why do I keep doing that?
Okay, I legitimately don't remember what the fuck happened here. Oh, yeah. He goes back to the house with the doctor, and he's, like, calming... Dude bro is calming dude girl. And...
Oh, that's right, because she's still really upset about the dog.
Yeah, he's calming her down, and then, it's, like, a very quiet scene, and all of a fucking sudden, you just hear, like, dude bro! You won't believe what's happening.
You simply must come see this.
Yes. He runs downstairs and the blood is overflowing. Now, what? We know the blood reproduces.
He knows the blood reproduces.
We all know.
Why? But why would he not believe that?
He says you would not believe what's happening. I call bullshit.
Because he would believe what was happening, because he's seen it.
Matter of fact, we all would believe it. Because what the fuck else would happen?
I mean, I don't believe it, because that is an absolutely fucking ridiculous, like, explanation on why...
They also never explain... Spoiler alert. They never explain why... Why does the blood reproduce, Will?
I don't know.
Exactly.
Why?
What the fuck does any of this have to do?
Why do the druids need the blood to reproduce?
What does any of this have to do with druids?
It never explains anything. That's the one thing it never explained. And I know for a fact, because I listened for those conversations.
Oh, I know you did.
They never explain why they need the blood to reproduce.
Yes.
Ever. It's just kind of like the directors threw it in like a cool...
And it's not just
like,
that.
Hey, like, what if we had reproducing blood?
But not just that. They need special blood, because not everyone's blood fits the thing.
Yeah, so like... There's people that can handle the reproducing blood.
After this scene, we get a look at the cult. And they're doing like a ritual, and the fucking cult leader is just the goofiest actor.
Oh, he is
ever.
Like, he is hamming it up,
yes.
Too.
My queen will resurrect.
Well, like, my queen will resurrect and my We will continue.
And she will smite her enemies. He says
We will resurrect the druid, and we will continue on.
See, you're being too wooden. He is going over.
Oh, that's true.
He's like, and she will smite her enemies. He sounds like... You know what he sounds like? Remember Dexter's Lab? Remember Mandark?
Yes.
He sounds like Mandark.
A little bit, yeah.
Very like, ah, ha, ha, like that. He is...
Very dramatic.
And every line is delivered like this, regardless. And this is where he explains, like, the scheme, sort of. There's this woman that's just laying in, like, a fucking...
Like a glass thing? It's supposed to be a glass thing, but...
And they need to resurrect her.
And they need someone with this special blood to resurrect her.
And if the resurrection doesn't work, then the Prince of Darkness will come for them.
Destroy all the druids.
For some reason.
Because they're trying to continue their lineage of the druid nation.
For some reason.
It doesn't explain why.
All I can say is...
I mean, these druids are kind of not very threatening.
No, not at all. Especially him. And also, they all wear, like... KKK fucking...
They're not white hoods, but they're black hoods. But...
Yes, except for the leader who has a purple hood, which looks fucking goofy as all hell.
Oh, yeah. We'll get to that final climax.
All I can say is I got some hardcore Manos flashbacks with this nonsense.
Oh, yeah. Like the where they're in the like the ritual chamber.
Yes.
And like you shoving Torgo to death.
Just like the dialogue and how... It's so childish.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I love it. It's fucking childish.
That guy actually reminds me of the prophet for Manos.
Yes. He is going full tilt.
Like, if they would have given him a robe with two hands on it, that would have been the same person.
He's going full tilt. And everyone else in the scene is just, like, being wooden as all fuck. But he's just going out there like a madman. And... At some point, the doctor... Okay, yeah, the doctor calls up... He's like, I want to know what this artifact is. By artifact, meaning the fucking key.
Oh, okay. Why did I forget? Seriously, like, I think my brain is erasing this as soon...
Why do you think I had to write it down?
Because...
Because it's bullshit. Nothing happens.
I was too fucking dumbfounded to write this down.
It's bullshit.
Yeah, so he calls the
University?
Yeah, the university for the key.
My favorite character of the movie, Cameron.
Cameron's the best.
Cameron is amazing. Cameron's my fucking hero. Cameron answers the phone, but what is Cameron doing?
I want to set up this scene.
Please.
So this guy, this professor is calling about this key, right? Again, he's calling to a prestigious...
We're prefacing this amateur hour filmmaking. You have a scene, and someone has to answer a phone. Now, do you tell them, like, hey, you should be doing something, like...
Now remember, this is a prestigious, like, university.
And your character should probably be doing something before they answer the phone, right?
Like, grading papers.
Yes.
Or, like, at least, like, researching something.
Something.
No. Cameron is literally sitting there with his eyes towards his crotch. He looks like he's waiting for the phone to ring.
You get a full 5 seconds of him staring at his crotch. And then... Like, we lost our shit. Again, amateurs.
And then he, like, slowly picks it up all awkwardly and, like, puts it to his face.
Cameron is in 2 scenes of the movie. In both scenes of the movie, he has to read the script. He is looking at one spot off camera and reading the fucking lines.
So Cameron, in the greatest...
Oh, Cameron.
Yeah, Cameron tells him to contact a professor that's near his house.
Yes.
No, sorry, he says that he's taking over for this professor that is near his house, like, while the professor's away on vacation or something.
Yeah.
And so he's like, you can reach him at this number.
Call, his like name is Kinski.
Kinski, yeah, you can reach Kinski at this number.
And he calls Kinski.
And it's one of the druids.
Yes, it's Professor Kinski.
Yeah, Professor Kinski.
With his fucking lopsided...
Or Sangreed, or whatever his name is.
Yeah.
Sangreed. I don't even know how to say it.
With his fucking lopsided drawers.
Remember? Yeah, it looks like someone just, like, they filmed someone's house, and he's just answering it, and he's doing, like, he's supposed to be doing research,
mm-hmm.
well, quote-unquote research, as this cover, because they're doing research on blood.
And then you're supposed to be like, oh, shit, it's the guy from the ritual, but we're just bored out of our minds, so I'm like, oh, it's the guy from the ritual.
Yep, so he says, where did you find this key? Oh, yes, let me come take a look, I'd like to come take a look at it.
Yeah.
And the doctor just literally doesn't give him any confirmation, just nods, and then hangs up the phone.
Yeah. We ask him a question, like, how was this and that? And then there's, like, 5 seconds, and then he just hangs up the phone.
Yeah.
Like, bye, bitch.
So we get more scenes of, like...
You know what you get now? Well, you get a death.
Ah, yes.
The man who is mourning his wife. He is still sitting in his backyard. He is still shirtless.
And still drinking vodka.
He's been doing this...
It's supposed to be like a week later?
Well...
I don't know. Time doesn't lapse in this.
Time doesn't exist in this movie.
Because it's not even day for night. It's just day.
You know how in Alaska and like Norway and like the super far parts, they'll have like, you know, a month long just nighttime? Well, apparently this movie exists in the world where it's just a fucking month long of goddamn daytime.
They didn't even try and put like crickets to like.
And we'll just get this out of the way. They will mention in dialogue like, you know, have a good night, or like, it's like, you know,
oh, I'm gonna head to bed.
I'm gonna see him tonight, or I'm gonna go to bed. Like, they say things referencing that it's nighttime.
Then they go outside and it's clearly daytime.
It is like the middle of the goddamn day.
Sometimes morning.
Yes.
Like, you can hear birds chirping.
Yes. Why?
I don't know. They didn't even do, like,
I counted.
They didn't even do, like, crickets, like, that one movie. Like, you know how it was, like, daytime.
Body Shop?
Yeah, yeah. where they put crickets to, like, mask the fact
that they couldn't do that. They were too amateur to do that. And... there is one scene in this, where there is a shot of a night sky.
One, but that's because they had to get the shot of her silhouette.
Because they needed that shot. For some ungodly reason, there's no point they needed that shot. Everything else is the middle of the goddamn day.
Yep. Okay, so then...
So this fuckface, again, sitting in his yard, and he, like, hears something, and he picks up, like, a goddamn, this weird-looking, this like...
scythe.
And he just drops it, goes, looks in the bushes, and
this guy in the black hood, and he, like, I guess he's supposed to stab his eye, but it looks like he just squirts something into his eye. Like,
looks like he squirts blood in his face.
Like a package of ketchup, just...
Which, considering how little they explain, like, for all we know... Maybe?
I don't know what was actually.
But it doesn't matter, so he kills him. And that's over with.
So then we get the wanderer wandering out of the bar.
It's just some dude like drunkenly wandering.
Wandering out of the bar, and then we get the druids drive up and just capture him.
Yeah, he's hitchhiking. That's it. We're done with that.
And then,
we get the deputy in the bar.
Oh, okay, that's when we get the deputy in the bar.
So he's bullshitting with these guys, and he's drunk, and it's supposed to be a funny scene, I guess, because he's wearing, like, his hat backwards.
And then he goes and calls the sheriff.
No.
Oh, not yet.
No. Calls? He gets a phone call.
Oh, that's right, he gets a phone call, and it's the sheriff saying he should, like, stop, and he's coming back into town. I couldn't hear any of it, because...
That's not the only issue here. The deputy is in a bar. The sheriff calls him at the bar, and keep this in mind. He hears a phone call. It's not the bartender who goes answers the phone.
It's the
deputy. So apparently the deputy just spends all of his goddamn time in the fucking bar.
Maybe they were going for a joke? I don't know.
I think they were, but my soul was so dead I couldn't laugh. So the sheriff is in a telephone booth and is raiding.
And you can barely hear anything he's
even
saying.
With him yelling, you just hear like the raindrops everywhere. And he's like, stop drinking, blah, blah, blah.
The gist of it is, I think he said he was like coming, he's heading back.
He's heading back from the capital city.
Yeah, from capital city.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Highly original.
Yep, definitely.
So and I'm just like, oh, wow. There's all these people dying and this fuck place is finally going to come home.
So then we get the evaluation of the artifact, right?
No.
Did I skip? Why do I keep skipping scenes?
Maybe?
I thought that was the next scene,
I think the next scene might be where he gave him the artifact.
Right, where the professor...
gives Dr. Kinski, a.k.a.
The Kinski, yeah.
Whatever the fuck.
And the Kinski just basically says, oh, it's just a trinket.
Yeah.
Like, it's nothing, it's not important.
Yeah. Like, then, at some point, the sheriff shows up.
To investigate the dog.
So, no, I don't even remember if that was the point, but he gets in. It's not to investigate the dog.
What's it to investigate?
Because remember, he goes in and the girl greets him and he just says, where's Buster?
Oh yeah, how's Buster?
And she just like, eh, hey,
runs off crying.
Just runs off and he's like, was there something I said? Now, I'll admit, I laughed because I just like, oh wow, they did that.
Yeah.
And then they talk and he's like, I want to go talk to...
Kinski?
The family?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Like, oh god, okay. We forgot another scene.
I'm trying to erase this.
I know you are. When the doctor and Kinski are talking in person, remember the daughter pretends to go to sleep?
Oh, yeah.
And then
yeah.
She's like, I have a cookbook I have to return to whoever the fuck lives up the hill. And she goes to return it, and then Kinski somehow intercepts her and takes her home.
Even though they were just talking,
yes, but she,
there's no way.
So she says she hears a scream, and I think that's where the sheriff investigates.
Yeah.
So then the sheriff goes there and is like, you know, like, first of all, he wears his sunglasses indoors all the fucking time, which is emblematic of the movie because the whole fucking thing is daytime.
Well, and he keeps saying it's nighttime and he's still wearing his sunglasses.
Everyone.
And then he goes outside and it's sunlight.
Yes.
But
everyone says it's nighttime. And he goes to the house. The doctor answers the door and he tells them that the owners are in California and they've leased the house to me. It's like, okay then.
So then we get...
And I just want to say, do you think the guy playing the sheriff is a real actor?
No.
Really?
They're probably just some guy you found.
Really?
Yeah.
I would never have guessed.
So bad.
Oh, he's great. He's fucking hilarious. Then there's
so we get
a scene...
two more deaths, don't we? Like where they're pumping the blood out of the drifter.
That's I think at some point. I don't know what the fuck that happens, but I do know that after this, there's a scene in the police station.
Hmm.
Where he
the makeshift police station they created.
Yeah. So it is like. It's like someone's basement. And there is a shitty table that has two telephones on it for some bizarre reason. I don't know why. One of them doesn't even look like it's plugged in. There is a safe that looks like it's 200 years old in the corner.
And then two shotguns hanging on.
Two shotguns hanging on like this thing. And like, there's like room for like five guns, but there's only two shotguns.
It's probably all they had on hand.
It's all they had on hand. And then there's a map. Like, taped to the wall, and it's so nondescript. I have no clue, but again, it's a totally real police station.
So
he answers the phone. He talks with the doctor?
I think so, yeah.
About something? I don't remember what the fuck they talked about in the scene. I do remember the important part, though.
Then the doctor calls Kinski back about the artifact.
No. You forgot. Remember? Fuck!
Oh, yeah. the sheriff's just talking and he's like, yeah, okay, all right. And then they just cut, like, they cut mid-sentence, like, mid him saying fine, they cut it, fuck.
Yes.
And
it's
then
the
we
next
get a,
scene.
And then we get a woman walking along a creek.
Yes. But why the fuck would they cut the dialogue mid-sentence?
I don't know. Why does this movie exist?
Was it so, like, was that a fuck-up? Did they not, like, when they were editing this?
I think they fucked up.
Because this is before digital editors.
I think they fucked up. They clipped the...
He clipped that shit early and then threw it away.
Yeah.
Like a goddamn genius.
They clipped it.
Beautiful.
So a girl walks along a creek and then...
takes off her shoes. And, like, dips her feet in there and then just... okay. She lays on a rock in the most uncomfortable position.
Like, she has her feet planted on the ground and then bends all the way backwards to, like, lay on this
like
rock.
Like a fucking 90-degree angle.
Doesn't even put her feet up. Like, no. Just keeps her feet on the ground and bends her back.
And she, like, closes her eyes. It's like, oh, I'm so relaxed.
And then Egon sneaks up on
and
her.
He hits her once with the thing.
Taps her.
And she's, like, dead.
And then he sucks her blood, and that's it.
That's it.
Then we get the drifter, where they're sucking the blood out of the drifter.
Yes.
So they suck the blood out of the drifter, but he looks different from the drunk guy they kidnapped earlier.
It looks like a completely different person.
And they're sucking blood out of him, and does that gurgling, bubbling sound. And then they're like, oh, did you extract the blood from the drifter? It'll be plenty enough blood for us.
Yeah.
And then
the next scene is them
wheeling
in the drifter.
The other guy...
the drifter.
That we thought was the drifter.
On a, like, a wheelbarrow.
And then, is this the scene where they drink the blood?
Yes.
Yes.
They line up, they drink the blood, they kiss Sleeping Beauty, and that's it? It's important to mention, they hold the cup with two hands.
Yeah, they hold this bowl with two hands that's supposed to have the blood of the drifter in
Apparently.
It.
Apparently.
And then they kiss the princess.
Why?
I don't know. Exactly. It doesn't explain anything.
Exactly.
So then we get one of your favorite scenes where the professor calls the guy for the artifact. Where the guy casts the spell on the phone.
Oh, Jesus. I forgot about this nonsense.
Did you forget?
I forgot about this nonsense. Yeah, he calls Kinski's quote-unquote office, what he tells him is the office, and Egon answers the phone, and, like, says a spell and, like, kind of flicks his hand, and there's, like, a mini, like, firecracker that goes off.
And the professor's... He totally, like, captured what we were feeling at the moment, and he's just like, what?
Yeah, so he's like, what? He says it exactly like that. Just,
what?
Like, and... that might as well have been us during that scene. Because, again, he just immediately...
us.
Ring, ring, ring. Answers the phone. Blah, 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 and I'm just... what? And then the professor...
So Kinski finally grabs the phone and tells the other guy to go away.
He's like, we're doing a secret experiment and my students have to, like, pretend whatever.
Yeah, like, why didn't you tell me that blah, 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 you were, like, leasing something out from California? Yeah. And he's like... oh, well, like, we're doing a secret experiment, I can't tell, like, yeah, whatever.
And at some point, he calls Cameron again, who is sitting in a different position now and reading a script in a different location.
Off screen, not in his lap.
Previously, the script was in his lap. This time, it's, like, on the wall in front of him. And he tells him, like...
that Kinski's not... he's in Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
He's not actually in where he thought he was.
Also, okay, I remember now. Kinski comes over to the doctor. And the doctor's like, you want a drink? And Kinski says, yes, a Bloody Mary.
Yep.
Get it?
Yeah.
She gives him the Bloody Mary, and he picks it up with two hands.
Like, two outstretched hands.
And then he, like, immediately, like, corrects himself. You know, he drinks it like he would drink the blood. Now... I'm grading this on a very, 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 very generous curve. That was slightly impressive.
That was about the only thing that was impressive.
Like, that was slightly impressive. But then Kinski goes downstairs and, like, looks at the blood lab. And then the doctor calls Cameron, and that's when Cameron tells him that Kinski's in Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
So Kinski listens in, and he knows that the doctor is suspicious.
Yep.
So he tells... the whatever the fuck his name is, the cult leader, that the doctor is, like, he knows.
Yeah, and then Kinski was like, oh, well, like, I was in Pennsylvania the other day for, like, last week for this or whatever.
Yeah, so he tells them that, like, the doctor knows and we need to get rid of them. So, did they ever show how they got the doctor and the daughter?
Yeah, because remember, Dude Bro goes to Capital City.
Yeah.
And then they go into her and his house.
Yeah.
It's his daughter.
Yeah.
And so it's the doctor's daughter. So they go into her house. I don't know how they get into the house.
Oh, no. He calls them from a payphone.
Yeah.
And as he's calling them, it shows an outside shot of the house.
And they're screaming.
And then that's it.
Yep, and they're kidnapped. And then, so they go back to the cult thing. So, Dude Bro gets all worried, so he's gonna head back to...
Yeah.
And so, goes back to the cult. They figure out the girl is, like, positive for this blood ritual. This is bullshit.
Apparently her blood is the magic blood.
So then we get another scene of, like, the red tent.
And they're carrying her up the mountain.
They're carrying her up in the mountain and praising, like, you know, like, the...
Something.
The bad sun or whatever. I can't remember exactly what. The Mennonite or whatever.
You keep saying Mennonite, but I know why.
I keep saying Mennonite, but it's
Mennonon.
Mennonon, that's right.
You keep saying Mennonite because Mennonite is an actual thing.
Yeah, Mennonite is an actual thing, but no, Mennonon.
Mennonon. They're very clever.
Mennonon.
I was waiting for one of them to, like, flub their line and just be like, Mennona, like...
I mean, that's what I keep doing is Mennonite, but it's Mennonon.
Yeah.
So, they, like, cut her wrist and, like, flow it into a cup, and while Dude Bro gets there, like, is looking around for her... I can't remember how he figures out where she is.
Well,
does he just get lucky?
Yes. I'm not joking.
He's like...
Maybe he hears it because the leader is just like, and she will smite our enemies and we will conquer the world.
And so he takes this girl's blood and like just smears it on the queen's like lips.
And she wakes up.
She wakes up and Dude Bro gets there just in the nick of time.
And then the doctor tells him like the antidote.
And Dude Bro just squirts this antidote, which is just like, what, ammonia and like...
So they figured out earlier...
or something like
the
that.
The way to reverse the reproducing blood is by putting common household ammonia in it. So I guess what he does is he literally just drips ammonia on the queen.
She just freaks out, starts screaming.
All of them die.
All of them have, like, red, like, hand marks on their neck for some reason. I have no idea why.
Keep in mind, this whole scene is shot from so far away, you cannot see what the fuck he's, like, putting on her.
He stands a couple inches from her, too, and, like, squirts it into her eye.
Something. I don't even know if he actually had anything in his hands, and they
probably
were just,
not.
Like, pretend there's something in your hand.
Yeah.
So, they all die.
They all die, and then it cuts back to,
the house.
The house, and, he's, like, laying with the girl, and they're talking about, like, what happened.
They're like, I'm so glad your nightmare is over. He's like, everything's gonna be fine. Then she says, in verbatim, I'm so glad this nightmare is over.
Yeah. Oh, no, he's like... You're gonna be Mrs. Dawn, whatever, whatever.
Yeah.
She's like, I'm so glad this nightmare is over.
You know what she was talking about?
Sweetie, the nightmare's just begun.
You know what she was talking about?
Hmm.
The movie.
Yep.
That was us.
That was me. Like, literally, these actors just, like, they embody what we're feeling at the moment.
No, that line there, it embodies everything we thought about this. But
and
yes.
And then, of course, the doctor... You simply must come see this. You will be surprised.
They run downstairs and he gives him a dog.
A dog. And a new dog.
At first, I thought he somehow figured out a way to like resurrect the old dog because you just see the fur and it's the same like white color of fur.
Yep.
And I was like, what? But no, it's a different dog. But then he's like this cheery, happy music. And it's a big, happy family.
And
the end. Also, we want to mention, the production company of this name was like Farmers?
Farmers Distribution Company.
Which is extremely fitting.
Yeah.
Because I am 99% sure this was a movie made by a bunch of fucking farmers.
Probably. Most of the actors probably were.
Yes. I mean, they're definitely locals.
So,
how what? You... what are your...
final thoughts?
Yeah, just let it all out. Let it out.
Oh, this movie is fucking just abysmally bad. It's so bad. Like, the acting, the production, the, like, quality of, like, just everything. Like, again, like, these movies just show, like, if you want to make movies and, like, want to know what not to do, this is what not to do. Don't make stupid, convoluted plots that you can't explain. Like, don't just throw a bunch of actors at it that have no acting experience
whatsoever.
How could
you possibly make this, though? Like, think about it.
It would be hard to make a movie this bad. I have to commend these directors. Because how do you make a movie this bad? I don't understand it.
Like, how do you fuck up the basic, like, understanding cult of film, like, anything?
I don't know.
Nothing, like, the editing, the random, like, inserts of people's faces during scenes, or the, like, the scenes will just, there's no flow. A scene happens, and then, like, a fucking train hitting you, the next scene just hits. Like, there's no, like...
They wanted to get to the next scene so badly, yeah. They cut off a guy delivering a line.
Like, how do you... Like, there's no understanding. It's just, like, there's no, like, normal transition between scenes. It's just, boom!
Yeah.
Next scene. And the next scene is always, like, the complete 180 of what you were watching. So each time you're just confused.
So what are your final thoughts on the film?
Oh, it's amazing. I love this so much. It's so childish, which I love. Like, that final ritual is...
Where he's wearing the big purple cone.
Where he's wearing the big purple cone, and he's like hand acting, remember?
Yeah.
His hands are like going up in the sky, like, praise the sun!
And he's like jumping, and yeah. Like, you know.
And it's just this wide shot, and it's like him doing his hand acting, and then everyone else like pretend struggling.
Oh, it's also supposed to be night, and the sun is shining
it's
right
supposed to be
on
nighttime,
the set.
And it's just this shot. It looks like, it's like something a kid would make. Okay? Like, it's like if you got a bunch of friends together in middle school and were like, you wanted to make a movie. So, you know, you grabbed dad's camcorder. You went into the woods. You put on a silly, like...
Costume.
A Halloween costume, and you wanted to make a scary movie in the woods.
And you, like, really, like, knew dad was into, like, cult films.
And you maybe watched, like, you know, Rosemary's Baby or The Exorcist once. And you vaguely remember it, so you went and made a spooky movie with your friends. That's what this felt like.
Yep.
It's hilarious. And we mentioned this in the beginning, but I live for this kind of nonsense. Like, these kind of, like, homegrown, just dirt cheap types of, like, a bunch of friends got together and made a movie. Like, I live for this nonsense.
It kind of makes you appreciate how much goes into, like, making movies,
yeah.
You know?
Especially, like, independent movies.
Yeah. Like, even, like, crummier independent movies have more production value
than
this.
I mean, some of the greatest movies ever are arguably independent movies.
Yeah.
So, it makes you think.
It really does.
Have you seen El Mariachi?
Yeah.
It cost, like, less than $1,000. This cost $24,000.
Yeah.
Blair Witch Project cost, like, what? $2,000?
Yeah, like, nothing.
This cost $24,000.
It just makes you...
Think about it.
It makes you appreciate people with good ideas.
Yeah.
That can actually explain their narrative.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, actually explain, have a good plot line and story and script.
Well, that's another thing. The plot in this, again, feels like kids making it up. Like, if you ever listen to, like...
Because it just goes all over the place.
Yeah.
They don't explain anything.
Like, if you ever ask a kid to, like, make up a story, they'll always be like, well, the farmers, they harvest blood, and then there's blood that reproduces.
And they're part of a cult. And
they're
like,
part of a cult. And there's a woman. It's sleeping.
Yeah, seriously.
It's like a kid making it up as he goes along.
Yep.
And
it's exactly what
but
it is.
It's not kids, Will.
It's adults. It's
grown adults doing this. They did. Grown adults made this. They made Blood Freak. And they made The Body Shop. Yep. These three are beautiful.
Well, we have a lot more to go. It's not over yet.
I know, and I love it. I love this shit. Like, regular bad movies with more money, they're still amusing, but there's that kind of, like, professionalism to them.
I can just appreciate movies where it's so bad and the director thought it was so good that I'm just, like, there's gives you, like, some, like, sort of, like, happiness. Yeah. Like, just thinking about how the director thought that was so good.
And just how every bit of it is fucked up.
Yeah.
The acting. I mean, the acting is horrendous.
Yeah.
Because at least with, like, more expensive bad movies, like, you'll have better actors because they could afford them. But when it's just, like, you and your friends, forget it.
Oh, yeah.
Forget it. When you have to have people reading the script as they're being filmed, yeah. I love it.
Yeah, it is great. And I can't wait for more movies like this. So
we're almost done with 1972.
Yep. Just one more to go. If we can make it through it.
Oh, don't worry. I have backup.
Special
one.
If you want to watch Invasion of the Blood Farmers, it is on YouTube. Just search Invasion of the Blood Farmers 1972. It does have... like Italian subtitles, but it's not, it doesn't get in the way too much. I mean, it's a shitty movie anyway, so
nothing could get in the way of this.
No,
I assure you.
But if you want to like watch along, it's on there. I'll probably provide a link in the description. Thank you so much for listening. For They Mostly Come Out at Night. This has been Will,
and this has been Alex,
and we will talk to you all later.
Bye.
Bye.